I said to the underground North Korean Christian brother, I said, how can we pray for you? But I said it in that kind of American pastor way. You know, how can we pray for you, you poor North Korean Christians? And the North Korean brother said, you pray for us? We pray for you.
Across the world today, millions of Christians are persecuted. They face oppression, imprisonment, displacement, and even death simply because of their faith in Jesus Christ. These courageous believers are our brothers and sisters. We are in this together with them, and we need to hear their voice. Join host James as we discover their stories today on Release International's Voice podcast.
In his letter to the Colossians, the Apostle Paul emphasizes that our sufficiency is in Christ alone. For in him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and we have been filled in him. And yet, Paul speaks of his sufferings. In this edition of Release International's Voice podcast, we speak to Eric Foley, head of our sister ministry, Voice of the Martyrs Korea. What does ministry to North Koreans look like? And how did Voice of the Martyrs Korea begin?
Well, hello, Pastor Eric Foley. Thanks so much for joining us today on Release International's Voice podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me. Good to be with you, James.
Great. So as our listeners will quickly be able to work out from hearing your voice, your accent, you're an American. But you now live and serve in South Korea. So can you tell us a little bit about the background of how that came about? How did you end up in South Korea?
Well, the thing that will immediately answer the question is to let you know that my wife is originally from South Korea. And she came to the U.S. and that's where we met. She became a citizen there and we raised our family there. And so we were longtime residents in the U.S. and we were working in all kinds of different ministry, none of which involved North Korea. So I had consulted with many different denominations and Christian organizations on a variety of causes. But it was in working together on a Bible project to get Bibles into closed countries that we met our Voice of the Martyr sister mission in the U.S. And when they saw that my wife was from Korea, they said, wow, have you ever thought of helping us in North Korea work? And about 2 months prior to that question, I actually had a dream, a very vivid dream, in which the Lord showed me that we would give up everything we had, everything we were doing in order to serve underground North Korean Christians. The reason I mention that, I don't get those kind of dreams often. Some people do get a lot of dreams. I don't. I usually, when I go to bed, I just sleep. But in this particular case, it surprised us because neither my wife nor I had any strong interest or sense of calling in North Korea. And so, you know, sometimes we hear people say, the Lord called me to do this. I had a passion for this since a young age. We didn't. But, James, that proved to be instrumental in shaping the direction of our ministry.
Well, it's amazing the way the Lord leads, isn't it? I've been reading in Proverbs recently, and the same kind of idea comes up again and again. You know, we make our plans, but it's the Lord that directs our steps. So that's great to hear. So you now run Voice of the Martyrs Korea together with your wife, Dr. Foley, which is a sister ministry to Release International. We support some of the work that you're doing. Can you tell us a bit more about the origins of Voice of the Martyrs Korea itself and what is your kind of driving vision in the work that you're doing?
So, as I say, the interesting thing is when we started, it wasn't out of a deep sense of interest or passion for North Korea. We just didn't know much about North Korea. But, you know, we were asked by the Voice of the Martyrs to consider doing the North Korea work. But because we knew nothing about North Korea, what seemed to us to be obvious was to try to talk to North Korean people, especially North Korean Christians, to understand what they felt was important related to their faith inside North Korea and what we could do to help. And that turned out to be a very surprising step when a lot of people looked at our work. Because at that time, even on to today, most North Korean work is done by foreign missionary groups, especially South Korean missionaries, international aid agencies. So the number of organizations that have as a foundation the vision of North Korean Christians is pretty small, like one, like ours. So from the very beginning, that is what has determined what we do, is that through the networks that we've developed, which, as I say, we started from nothing, but now, after having done this for 22 years, we have the blessing of being the largest ministry working with underground North Korean Christians. For us, North Korea is not one geography. It's really, to be honest, it's about 15, you know, different parts of North Korea, different groups of North Koreans outside of North Korea, not just defectors in South Korea, but sex trafficked women who are Christian, North Korean women who are Christian in China, or laborers who come to know the Lord in Russia, Mongolia, Southeast Asia, even Eastern Europe and in the Middle East. So that is the distinguishing characteristic of Voice of the Martyrs Korea. We are not a mission organization trying somehow to reach the people of North Korea. We are partners with underground North Korean Christians, and the church, the underground church in North Korea is a vibrant church. If we were to ask where the church is growing faster, the UK or North Korea, US or North Korea, South Korea or North Korea, the answer is North Korea. And the Christians in North Korea have taught us about North Korea. They've helped us to understand what the Lord was doing before we started, what the Lord is doing today, and how we can participate in that. So really, the ministry is not at all driven by our vision or passion. It's really driven by a sense of privilege to have learned these amazing things from North Korean underground Christians, and to just support them to put those things into practice.
Today, we're speaking to Eric Foley of Voice of the Martyrs Korea. We've heard a bit about his own background. Keep listening as he shares a surprising discovery when he first encountered a North Korean Christian.
I know that you've probably shared this with people before, but just that first conversation that you had with a North Korean believer.
You know, my background was working with more than 1,500 different ministries around the world. At that time, I really understood ministry to be about helping people to use their resources, and which includes, you know, their finances, their freedoms, their passions, to be able to serve the Lord. But when my wife and I arranged to meet our first underground North Korean Christians, which happened through all of these contacts that we had developed over the years, we met on the China side of the North Korea border, and we met these underground North Korean Christians who had come out. In those days, the border has always been challenging to cross, but in those days it was much easier. And so I said to one of them, the underground North Korean Christian brother, I said, "How can we pray for you?" But I said it in that kind of American pastor way, you know, "How can we pray for you, you poor, pitiful North Korean Christians?" And the North Korean brother said, "You pray for us? We pray for you." And I thought there must be some mistranslation, because I thought, you know, we're from America, the land of the free, the home of the very rich Christians. We have, you don't have. I mean, so what do you need? Do you need medicine? We can get a truckload. You know, do you need, you know, money to start businesses? Do you need to escape so you can be free and rich like us? And so I was kind of thinking these things. I didn't say anything out loud, but I really think he could read my mind because he said, "Yeah." He said, "That's the problem with you American and South Korean Christians. You have so much." He said, "You have so much money and so much freedom that you often end up putting your trust in your money and your freedom." And he said, "But we North Korean Christians, we have no money and no freedom. We have only Christ, and we found that he is sufficient." And so that was very challenging. You know, I think you only ever get a moment like that maybe once in your life, maybe never. But it really knocked me on the floor, and it gave me an understanding that ministry was not about using my resources for the Lord, but it was really about being in a position of moment-to-moment dependence on the Lord. That's what makes us attentive to what the Lord is doing, as opposed to simply carrying out our own picture of what he wants. And that when we do that, things never work out the way we expect, because the Lord's ways are not our ways, but he's accomplishing more than we can ask or imagine. But along the way, we go through many different steps in that process that require our faith, don't they, on a day-to-day basis. And so what the North Korean Christian brother challenged me on was something that really has unfolded in our life over the last 22 years. We really set aside any sense of vision that we had. And we said, "Look, our purpose as an organization is simply going to be prepared to move in a moment's notice to support what the Lord is doing related to underground North Korean Christians. And that's our characteristic. And so we just don't put a lot of time and effort into trying to understand what we think should be done. What we really do is to say, Lord, if we can be involved in any way, use us. And that's very consistent with how North Korean underground Christians think. It's why during the pandemic, you know, in South Korea, where we live, there's 10 of the 11 largest churches in the world there in the city of Seoul, including the largest church in the world. But the pandemic just brought those churches to their knees. They really struggled. They call back all their missionaries, you know, and they started making plans for after the pandemic. But for North Korean underground Christians, the number of Bibles that they requested from us doubled each year of the coronavirus. And it's because they saw in the coronavirus that God even there was opening doors. And if they were willing to pursue what the Lord wanted rather than through what they had been doing, that the Lord would open up their eyes to different opportunities. And he did, and he has. So the time of COVID was actually a time of great growth for the North Korean underground church. And I think that's a really good picture of how our ministry has always operated. We really don't always know. In fact, we never know what we're going to be doing next year, next week, next month. We have a broad outline, but within that, there's just this tremendous variability. But you can always see those fingerprints of the Lord, you know, if you're in the Word, if you're in the Scripture, and you are approaching the ministry with humility, and you're not looking to do it on the basis of your own capabilities or interests or resources.
Yeah. Fantastic. Thank you. That's a real inspiration for how to shape ministry, I think. So can you tell us then, on the basis of that, you know, as you've been led by the Lord right now, and as you've been directed by the knowledge and experience of North Korean Christians themselves, what sort of projects are you involved in right now? There was one that particularly intrigued me that I read about recently called Bible Dance Therapy. What kind of work are you doing just now?
Yeah, let me pick just two examples to illustrate the whole. I mean, we could talk about a lot of things. We're doing 6 radio broadcasts every day into North Korea. We're doing operating 2 schools for North Korean defectors to train them in missionary work. People wrongly think, you know, that the front line of North Korean ministry is right when you cross the border from China into North Korea. But, you know, we've got more than 30,000 North Korean defectors in South Korea. 60% of them are in regular monthly contact with their relatives. So the front line of North Korean ministry is really in the heart of the North Korean wherever they're found. And as I mentioned a moment ago, they're found everywhere. But let me take 2 examples of how thinking from God's perspective and learning from North Korean Christians have changed our way of doing ministry. One is that we work with a lot of sex trafficked North Korean women in China. So these are women who in many situations are already married and have families in North Korea, but they're misled into saying, hey, you know, we can help you go to China and make money for your family. And then what happens is the women who are desperate to support their families, they end up, you know, putting their faith and trust in these groups. They end up in China. They don't end up as prostitutes. A lot of times we hear sex traffic, we think that means prostitution. But they're sold to Chinese men who are handicapped or old or alcoholics, you know, who can't get their own wives. The Chinese men don't speak Korean. The North Korean women don't speak Chinese, you know, when they go. So their lives are very difficult. But they're there to help their husbands. They're there to have children, to carry on the family name and so forth. Well, a lot of foreign groups go to these women and say, man, we can help you escape from here. You know, we can help you get to South Korea, and there you can have a great life. And the women say, well, okay, yeah, but now I have children here. And they say, yeah, you can bring them later. And they say, yeah, but I also have children in North Korea and a husband there. Hey, don't worry, you know, when North Korea opens, you can, you know. And so there's this kind of encouragement that these foreign groups give, because the foreign group is thinking, yes, you're a sex slave. Of course you have to be taken out of this context. But what they don't pay attention to is that the rate of death due to suicide of North Korean defectors in South Korea is 17.9%. It's the highest of any population group in history. Why do they kill themselves? Because they've been completely separated from their family structure, from their children. They've been given promises by Christian organizations and other groups, you know, of the great life that they can have. You know, they come to South Korea, they find that there's, you know, 40% divergence in languages. You know, the churches don't know how to help North Koreans with their problems, because North Koreans have really very challenging issues that they're dealing with. And so all churches know how to do is to try to help them financially, and that just perpetuates the cycle. But when you talk to North Korean Christians and say, okay, well, what should you do? And they say, well, you know, the Lord worked really hard to get those women in that position, right? Where they're with these Chinese men. These Chinese men need to know the Lord. So let's equip the North Korean women first to know the Lord, and second, to be able to evangelize their husbands and children. Well, we foreign organizations, we say, oh, how can you do that? You know, but North Korean Christians do that, and it has given rise to this explosive growth of house-based churches among North Korean and Chinese families in Northeast China. So, in fact, one North Korean woman who was sex trafficked, instead of escaping to South Korea, that's what she started doing, was is that she in fact went to visit other North Koreans that she knew had been sex trafficked. She evangelized them and then equipped them with the tools to be able to reach their husbands. So they could learn some Chinese, but also they could provide their husbands with Chinese audio Bibles. So they were listening to North Korean audio Bibles, their husbands listening to Chinese audio Bibles, they're teaching their children. And so this one North Korean woman started more than 100 house churches from North Korean sex trafficked women who were married to Chinese men who had first bought them. But then when they came to know the Lord, they didn't just say, oh, we're going to, you know, we'll let them run free, because now they're a family. But the family was transformed in Christ. But it's very hard for Westerners to understand. That's, you know, we just, you know, we would say, oh, how can you do that? The first thing you have to do is this or that. But the women there are much happier. They're living in transformed family situations. It's really amazing. And so one of the things that we've done is even to help them to do Christian weddings or wedding photos, you know, to say your marriage began in that kind of shameful situation, but now it's been transformed in Christ. And so now they have these wedding photos proudly displayed in their homes. And the gospel is really spreading in that area. And it's so interesting because these Chinese men hate Christians and missionaries because they consider them wife stealers. You know, they just come into an area and the next thing they know, their family is broken. So that's one example. Second one you mentioned, which is the dance therapy piece. My wife, Dr. Hyun-Suk Foley, who's the co-founder of the ministry with me, you know, she is a trained Christian counselor. Her specialty is trauma recovery from a Christian perspective. And she's known as a authority around the world, just the foremost authority in trauma care from a Christian perspective. So, not only is she teaching people in different countries, but she's practicing it as relates to North Korean people. And so North Koreans are very collective. And so efforts to help them recover from trauma that just simply isolate them and put them in a clinical setting just don't work. But one thing North Koreans love to do is they dance, because the only happy memories that they associate in many parts of their life is through the festivals that they experienced in North Korea. But all of those festivals are ones that glorify the Kim family. And so the trauma that they experience from their situations become locked in their body. They really, in many ways, can't even move or express themselves. And so my wife began teaching using the traditional Korean dances that would be common to both North and South Korea, but using Christian music, traditional Christian, you know, using traditional Korean instruments. And she taught the women to express their stories and God's work in their lives through dance. One of the students that we have is a woman who, when she was in North Korea during the arduous march, is what it's called, the terrible famine that happened in the 1990s, her daughter was eaten by the neighbors, cannibalized, which unfortunately is not an uncommon story to hear among North Korean people who survived the famine. So she essentially went crazy. I mean, it just, you know, there was no way to process that for her. And so nobody wanted to be around her. She couldn't sleep. When she came to South Korea, they put her on heavy, heavy medication. She never went outside the home. Churches didn't know what to do with her. I mean, just, you know, other than to sedate the woman. Because again, you can't put them in a therapist chair and just say, you know, tell me how you feel about your daughter being eaten by the neighbors. So my wife, they brought her to my wife. My wife began to work with her, with the group, and they do various forms of dance that they use in therapy. And to see this woman today, I mean, it defies description that the woman now creates her own dance routines and moves. The song that she enjoys the most is a Korean song that expresses thankfulness to God. And it basically says, thank you, God, for everything. And this is a woman who was, you know, kicked in the face by North Korean state security agents, you know, had her daughter cannibalized. And yet she's finding this healing in Christ by having her body unlocked, which ends up being the key then to be able to express and talk about some of these things and to be able to talk about them as North Koreans tend to do, which is in a group context, in a group of North Korean Christians with my wife, who then are able to help her carry that pain and process through it. And so, again, those are things that we've learned from underground North Korean Christians about how to support them, how to help them. I think we should be really slow to simply bring our methods and ways of thinking when we anywhere we go, but especially when we help persecuted Christians, because they're not just saying, hey, would you come and help me? You know, and in the book Torture for Christ by Richard Wurmbrand, people always quote him and say, yes, he said the most important thing is to pray for us. But that's not true. He listed 8 things that he wanted from the West. The second was to pray for us, but the first was live like us. And so we have to be careful students and eager students of underground Christians. We need to learn how the Lord has kept them going and enabled them to grow in these contexts. And we should support them in that, but also then apply those things in our own life. That is what Pastor Wurmbrand said was the most important connection we could have with underground Christians.
Well, there's so much in that that is worth unpacking, so much that is really challenging. You know, Dr. Foley showed me a video of that dance from that woman the other day. And wow, it's such a moving thing to watch her express herself in that way. And just shows that, well, one, God's redemption is not limited by the horrendous mess of the world.
Right.
And also that importance of contextualized, holistic ministry that really meets people where they're at. It's amazing stories. Thank you for sharing that.
One of the distinctive convictions of Release International is that as we engage with issues of persecution, we can learn lessons of Christian discipleship with and from those who suffer for Christ. In this podcast, we've discovered how true that was for Eric Foley and for the ministry he leads. Please tune into next month's podcast when we continue our conversation with Eric and find out more about life inside the closed world of North Korea. Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Voice podcast. Please do subscribe through your favourite podcast app so you can stay connected to the voice of persecuted Christians. We'd love to hear your feedback too on the podcast, so please do share your comments with us. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn and YouTube. And if you don't already receive our free quarterly magazine or prayer alert emails, then you can subscribe on our website at releaseinternational.org/podcast.
Remember those who are in prison as if you were in there together with them, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Do not abandon them.